From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of messages dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text for this message will be verses 31 through 39. Again, Dr. Cairns reminds us that the entire chapter is an exposition of verse 1, where the Apostle Paul declares, "There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Having laid out the evidence of this statement, Paul then asks a question. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In the course of this, as well as in the final message of the series, Dr. Cairns will explore the subject of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. First is the absolute truth that God is for his people. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled, Five Great Certainties of Sovereign Grace. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Dross Purged. The text is Zechariah 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Grace transmutes us into precious metal, and then the fire and the furnace follow as a necessary consequence. Do we start at this? Would we sooner be accounted worthless that we might enjoy repose like the stones of the field? That would be to choose the viler part, like Esau, to take the pottage and give up the covenant portion. No, Lord, we will gladly be cast into the furnace rather than be cast out from thy presence. The fire only refines, it does not destroy. We are to be brought through the fire, not left in it. The Lord values his people as silver, and therefore he is at pains to purge away their dross. If we are wise, we shall rather welcome the refining process than decline it. Our prayer will be that our alloy may be taken from us, rather than that we should be withdrawn from the crucible. O Lord, thou triest us indeed. We are ready to melt under the fierceness of the flame. Still, this is thy way, and thy way is the best. Sustain us under the trial, and complete the process of our purifying, and we will be thine forever.
Fire is there.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Now we're turning to read the latter part of the 8th chapter of Romans, from verse 31 to the end. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. You'll know my difficulty is all the greater when I tell you that tonight we would be looking not just at one verse, but all the verses we have read together. And that's certainly another element in the time difficulty. Not expounding verse by verse here at the moment, but looking at the passage, you'll notice that the section starts with a question. What shall we then say to these things? Now, these things, that expression, these things, may refer to everything that has gone before, from chapter 1, verse 16, all the way through to chapter 8 and verse 30. That may be the reference. I've given you a full exposition of the gospel. What shall we then say to these things? Or it may be that the reference is to what goes immediately before. For Paul has been dealing, especially in this 8th chapter, with a prolonged exposition of this one central fact, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What shall we then say to these things? In Romans 8, Paul has been expounding the doctrine of justification. He has explained its many glories. He has started off telling how the justifying grace of God justifies us completely from everything that the law would bring against us, and it sets us free from the law of sin and death. He has explained many other glories, culminating in that wonderful statement that we are heirs of God and equal heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone on to examine the afflictions of the justified. These many afflictions, the sufferings of God's people. And he concludes that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And then he has brought us through verse 28, 29, and 30 to this glorious security that believers have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust you will never forget verses 28, 29, and 30. If you have not yet memorized them, I trust that you will memorize them and always have them at your fingertips. Be ready to think them through. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then the ground in which he makes that amazing statement, for or because whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now He says, what shall we then say to these things? Immediately you'll see that the gospel does demand a response. You can't just say these things and shrug your shoulders like you've just said it's snowing outside. Big deal, so what? Unfortunately, that's how too many people treat the great statements of the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's ludicrous. The kind of statement that Paul is making is such as to make us respond. What will we say to this? The answer, I think, is that we first of all have got to recognize the necessity of a conscious response to the gospel. Every unsaved person should realize, I can't just ignore this. This kind of truth that Paul is talking about, you can't ignore it. You ignore this at your peril. This is all true, and yet you shrug your shoulders and go on as if it doesn't matter. That's the height, or should I say, the depth of folly. So every unconverted person needs to make sure that he takes close notice of the gospel, what Paul is saying, and say, what do I have to say in response to what God has said and done in the Lord Jesus Christ? And certainly, Christians need to consider it. God has said this, now what say you? And the overall answer for a Christian is that we've got to look at every fact of life and every facet of life through the lens of the gospel. And that's what this part of Romans 8 is all about. Looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. As we let grace form our thinking, we will have a proper and joyful response to that grace of God. What shall we say? Now, Paul puts the answer in two ways. In fact, he gives us a series of questions and answers. And the conclusions are stated both positively and negatively. Tonight we're going to take the positive. And here are five great certainties of sovereign grace. Now, when I say five great certainties of sovereign grace, you may well conclude that the big storm will be over by the time we get out. Could be summertime by the time we're finished. But I will try to make sure that doesn't happen. In abbreviated, or if I kneel down shortened fashion, we will deal with these five certainties of sovereign grace. Look at all that has been said. What will we say? The first thing we will say is God is for us. That's what Paul says in verse 31. The if does not denote doubt. The if forms a platform for the rest of the argument. The nearest thing we would say in English is, since God is for us, who can be against us? It almost has the force of, because God is for us. It's not a matter of doubt. This is something that is assumed as true for this argument's sake. So the statement in this question is God is for us. Now let's take that home with us tonight. Let's get that in our heads and let's get that in our hearts. God is for us. What does that mean? Well, it means the very opposite to saying God's against us. We once were enemies by wicked works. We had made God Almighty our enemy. We were alienated from God. But now it says God is for us. He's not our enemy. How do we address Him? in the words of the prayer the Savior taught us, our Father. He is our Father. He is our friend. In Romans 5, verse 1, we have that great statement, therefore being or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. That's not the peace of God reigning in your heart. That's a result of this peace. This is the peace of reconciliation. This is a peace that says the enmity is gone. The gulf has been bridged. We are not just in a ceasefire or a truce with God. We have entered into a completely new relationship with God. And there is total friendship and fellowship. God is for us. And He's not for our enemies. That's the witness of Scripture. To put it in the words of Psalm 124, the Lord of hosts is on our side. How often we have sung that 124th Psalm. Now Israel may say, and that truly. And what is the great truth that Israel may say? Verse 1 and 2 of that Psalm, the Lord of hosts is on our side. In Psalm 3, verse 8, the psalmist puts it in slightly different language. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. That's a statement of fact. That's a statement of reality. That is the ongoing truth. God's blessing is upon God's people. God's favor rests upon God's people. He is for us. Now, you can't read what goes before here without realizing that. He foreknew us. He predestinated us. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. What does that tell us? He's for us. Doesn't matter what's happening in the world. Doesn't matter what's happening in your body. Doesn't matter what appearances may say to the contrary. God is for us. That's the statement. Now, that's a huge statement, and this is one of the tension points of the sermon. How far do I go here? He is for us. That's in His own person. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is for us. The Father who gave us to Christ in the covenant of redemption. The Father who in sovereign grace set His love upon us from all eternity. He's for us. The Son of God who accepted us as the Father's gift, who pledged Himself to stand in our place as our covenant head and discharge all the duties of the covenant to save us. The Son of God who came into the world to seek us and to save us. He's for us. How could you look at the cross and wonder if Christ is for you or not? The Holy Spirit, who pursued us when we were enemies, who convicted us, made us realize our need, who enlightened our minds, who renewed our wills, who drew us unto Christ, who regenerated us, made us new creatures in Christ. The Holy Spirit is for us. God is for us in the Trinity of His sacred persons. God is for us in all His perfections. What is God? God is a Spirit, says the Shorter Catechism. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now take those list of perfections. These attributes of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the justice of God, the goodness of God, all the perfections of God are for us. His eternal purpose, as we have seen, is for us. And every promise of grace is for us. ¶¶
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.